Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post-show. It is Friday, September 13th. We've got Sean Ross Sapp here. We've got Alex Cardoza here. We've got a loaded episode of SmackDown to talk about tonight. Back on USA, I even remembered to tune in at 8 p.m. to the right network. I thought for sure I was going to be tuning in at like 8:04, but I remembered. I'm excited. New era stuff continuing through. Some good stuff tonight. We got Solo and Cody and a steel cage, but we've got Sean Ross Sapp here to talk about a lot of stuff, including kind of these branding changes that we saw. WrestleVotes reported the new logo. We've got the Megan Thee Stallion theme, the new song reported on Fightful Select. Best $5 in the biz. But why should I tell you about it when the Scoopster is here to talk about it? Sean, what's going on with the new brand?
The new brand? Well, it's the same brand. It's just new branding. It got you good. You're in the mud. Wow.
I'm so in the mud.
So I know there were a lot of people that were like, oh, new set, new ramp, any of that stuff. They feel like and have for years like they can just sort of satisfy themselves and audiences with the giant screens that they can put literally whatever they want on there. Like they tried briefly with the 2019 Fox thing. They had the sort of tunnel thing. And then when COVID happened, it just went away. But Fightful Select had a bunch of news today, on a lot of the branding changes. Earlier today, I had heard from somebody within the company, we're getting a new theme song. And then they told me they'd let me know, or a person told me they'd let me know around 7, which is when we found out about the Megan Thee Stallion song. But just the phrasing that was used was like, a legit artist, not Def Rebel. That's what they said. And I was like, okay.
Ouch. All right. Man, all right. I thought I was in the mud with my brand versus branding thing, but Def Rebel. Yeah. Yikes. Well, sounds like Raw might not be the only WWE brand with some changes coming to it. Obviously, there's going to be Raw moving to Netflix, NXT moving to CW. Any other context that you want to provide on that?
Yeah, so as mentioned, like this and a lot more, FightfulSelect.com for just $5. But there were some things I wanted to clarify. Like, there were some people that pointed to a time slot listed for this SmackDown, and it showed like 3 hours. On Monday, WWE very quickly confirmed to me that it's 2 hours. However, they do not have the same outs in America that they have had to have for 5 years to get off TV in time for the news, because the 10 o'clock news for Fox is big because they get in before other networks get in for the 11 o'clock news. So it's very important for them to have that. Meanwhile, NXT has always had the benefit, not always, but over the last couple of years, when Raw hasn't even had the benefit of an overrun. We've actually missed some important stuff at the end of Raw in the past. But now, as we had highlighted on Fightful Select today, SmackDown will have the benefit of an overrun sometimes when approved. USA Network will have shows naturally on at 10 p.m. they are going to want to lean into. This is how I discovered Burn Notice and The Ultimate Fighter back in the day, all kinds of stuff like that.
Burn Notice people. My cousin loves Burn Notice. I don't get it. I don't get it with Burn Notice.
So good.
It's a good show.
I don't know.
It's a good show, but yeah. I mean, naturally, they're going to have stuff to lead into. I would encourage people to check out Beyond the Bell with Andrew Zarian this week, because he really talks about it, about how SmackDown was sort of a loss leader for Fox, but they would just lead into the news. And if you're watching SmackDown, well, I mean, you're going to follow up by watching the news. Whoop-de-doo. Not a big deal. But with CW and some other stuff, you might have some different things depending on what CW shows. I'm not sure what they show Tuesdays at 10. I don't know if they do the news 10, 11, or at all on CW these days. But WWE is, I think, being very smart about how they've got their programming on Netflix, on network. They've got it on cable, and they got it on Peacock right now. So this kind of ties into, well, we're out of the Fox era of WWE, but we're not out of the Fox era of wrestling. Because as we have mentioned, they have shown some interest in AEW. They've shown some interest in a seasonal property. They showed interest in MLW a few years ago on Tubi. And I saw a whole lot of people saying, Tubi, why Tubi? Well, let me tell you why Tubi. You hear all this stuff about cord cutters. That is the most cord cutter friendly platform humanly possible. That there is no charge. There is no cable subscription.
You don't even need a login. Like, yeah, you can just watch. Yeah.
You just tune in and watch. It is the most true cord cutting scenario that you could find. But those are interesting changes that could happen. I don't know if CW will give WWE the benefit of an NXT Tuesday night overrun, which I don't know how that will change that show when you have some younger talent have to be a little bit more tight on their time cues and things like that. But that is something worth checking out. But I promise all of this had a point, because the night that that Raw got announced as 3 hours or 2 hours moving forward, I asked, hey, guys, would that mean that it's going to be 2 or 3 hours once they move to Netflix? And even though they quickly confirmed to me that SmackDown would be 2 hours, they didn't confirm anything about Netflix and that. So I don't know if that's necessarily guaranteed 3 hours. If I'm Netflix, I want as much time as possible.
Sure.
But I haven't got that confirmed yet. Not to say that I won't, but yeah, that's an interesting note that we sort of are observing as things go.
Can I add something? The show, sure. The CW does broadcast the news from 10 to 11 p.m. From what I see here, Monday through Sunday, at least here.
Glad you know, because I ain't watched that shit in forever.
Me either. No, yeah. So I know here in North Carolina they do, and several other states they do the news as well. Some others do from 11 to 11:30. But I don't think that's even – I think that's like actually – not, they're not even doing that anymore. But and then obviously to add on to the Tubi thing, I did hear about Tubi, and Tubi is the number two most subscribed network underneath Netflix. So they have a S ton, I don't want to curse, an S ton of subscribers that use them.
Tons, and they're getting tons of ass
all over me. Everywhere.
They're getting straight up ads on there as well. Because I mean, yes. it's sort of the older method of not DVR. You watch TV, you tune in and you watch the TV. But there were a lot of people saying, well, why would Fox still be interested in wrestling? Well, the way that this all went is Fox paid an incredible amount of money effectively as a loss leader. And I don't think they really ever implemented SmackDown to its fullest of ability. I think they got a sour taste in their mouth immediately when Vince wasn't showing up for SmackDown within a couple months. Then when he did start showing up for SmackDown, they're like, oh, well, be careful what you wish for. COVID hurt it and all that. And then by the time they sort of repaired that relationship after the MLW snafu that happened that cost WWE $20, $25 million, it sort of made a bit of a change. And now they're like, they don't have problems selling ads for wrestling from what I understand. It's just cutting into it, it doesn't help.
Sure. When you look at the first and second biggest wrestling companies in the game, right? There are some really beneficial things to an AEW possibility of Fox could cut their cost to a third of what they were paying for SmackDown. That's a huge bump for AEW. So an interesting time right now in the rights renewal side of things. Would encourage you, Sean mentioned about Beyond the Bell, but also some good stuff on this last episode of The Hump with this fella and Jimmy Van, if you want to go back and watch. But guys, get in those super chats and humper chats as we continue to pick Sean's brain about a couple of things while he's here, or anything else that you want to talk about regarding SmackDown. But one big thing that if you had reported, or if you had been subscribed to FightfulSelect.com, probably would have seen, probably would have known that even though it wasn't in the rundown proper, Roman Reigns was probably showing up at this one. We see him early in the show and late in the show, actually. So, of course, still just one of the hottest draws in wrestling, if not the hottest draw in wrestling. They really loaded up this show for the new USA relationship. Anything additional about that?
Yeah, a few things. So he wasn't outright listed, but Triple H also wasn't advertised to kick off the show either, but we had reported that on Fightful Select. And then the Roman Reigns involvement, like when you see on the rundown, Nick Aldis promo is the main event with Bobby Roode and Michael Hayes producing. It usually doesn't take that much for me to poke around and be like, okay, Roman's getting involved, right? And then somebody tells me. But yeah, Roman Reigns involved there. Some unfortunate ramifications from stuff like that. Women's match got cut pretty heavily. They were already set for a short match. It was like 5 minutes, and they had to cut it down to like 1 minute, which was wild to me because they had an overrun. And I'm like, I hate that that's what gets the match, that gets the time cut. And it's a bummer. It is a bummer, but Roman Reigns is back. I would imagine, you know, obviously he's going to, when he's there, he moves incredible merch numbers, like just does great things. We have seen Roman Reigns and his numbers as a heel for 4 years. So I can't imagine what type of things will happen as a baby face there, but yeah, good to see him back.
Definitely good to see him back. We do have some super chats rolling in here. Bad Robot, who's always so supportive of us, saying hello, favorite post show. Well, hello. Extremely nice Roomba. New network graphics and KO versus Theory Waller, a new era indeed. Andrade's elbow pops me every time. Is there a move that always gets you other than SRS's drop toe hold? I'm going to go for a raise and say no. Just Sean's drop toe hold. That's the only move in wrestling that I like. I'll throw in, as honorary mentions, Nigel McGuinness lariats. Always, always, always. And Kenny Omega snapdragons also. Absolutely.
I love a good Falcon Arrow. I love a good pile driver. Yeah, But Falcon Arrow is one of my favorite moves.
Cardoza, anything but that's a fave of yours?
Spanish Fly, anything that's flippy, you put that in my soul and I'll be so happy with it. Not cursing.
Well, Fid McAwesome, who is both Irish and awesome, leading us into our next topic here with Justice for Ricky. Sean, I got to be honest. I cover a lot of wrestling here at Fightful, and I didn't know about Ricky until tonight. This up-and-coming superstar covering for Randy Orton's travel troubles, even though he was ultimately able to make it. What do you have for us on Ricky?
Quite a bit. Fightful Select also had that Randy Orton would be the actual mystery partner. Ricky Gibson is one half of a team called Midnight Heat. You can tell by his gear. Very good tag team out of the Pacific Northwest. They'll be facing FTR later this month at Prestige in a very, very rare indie appearance for them. Also, I want to shout out Fid McAwesome, who hit me up for the work that he did with Down Under the Ring. The interview that dropped yesterday with Tony Storm, and we've got one that drops with Paul White tomorrow. And this happens sometimes where people will hit us up and they say, hey, we did these interviews. Would you like to run them on Fightful? And usually we'll be like, heck yeah. But I want to say, and this isn't something that I even feel like he would want me to put out there, but I feel like I should. He said that he wanted the proceeds of that to go to a family member who I lost recently. So that means an awful lot. I wanted to thank him for that. But guys, please check out that interview. The Tony Storm interview is great. They black and whited her.
It's so good.
It was really good.
Because I'll tell you what, in media scrums, she's the hardest person that I've ever had to ask a question to. Because I ended up getting the Wendi Richter thing, which has now lasted us till now. But she's very, very difficult when she's a character to ask any sort of question to. But Will asking us a question that you're just going to get asked for the rest of your life. I think I heard shit, guys. If you're listening in audio form, the question was about Motor City Machine Guns. Sean's got nothing. Corey, I don't think, has anything new. There were some rumors about them showing up at NXT, but nothing confirmed by us.
I hope they do so I can stop getting asked this. I haven't had new information on them in quite a while.
But we do appreciate you saying that you only trust Sean's reports. That is very kind of you. And if you want more of them, FightfulSelect.com is all I'm saying. But in addition to everything that we talked about, the changes to NXT, Raw, and SmackDown, we've also got Speed, and we had some dark matches tonight. Any context you want to throw around those for us?
Yeah, so they're continuing the Speed tournament, obviously. They had, I believe it was Kairi Sane and Electra Lopez. Also, they had Apollo Crews, Baron Corbin versus the OC. Well, those included with the OC. Gallows and Anderson. Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser also set for a dark match. Gunther is there. I assume he's working a dark match. I don't know. But a lot of people have been asking about Nakamura and AJ Styles. They were on the recent tour overseas. They're fine. They're healthy. They're just not being used on TV for whatever reason.
Got it. Good to know. Guys, send in those super chats and humper chats. We're going to get Sean out of here and let him go get some rest for a bit in a minute. But we did see a series of cameos tonight for this new relationship or continued relationship, I guess more appropriately said, with the USA Network. Tons of guests. Michael P. Hayes. We saw Vicky Guerrero. We saw a ton of people. Any info on that for us?
Yeah, so we saw like Bobby Roode and Michael Hayes there. They're producers. They're there every week, so not a big surprise there. Rob Van Dam, and they didn't name Katie Forbes, but she was there as well. He is under some sort of merchandising agreement with WWE, but they allow him to take outside bookings and all that stuff. Vicky Guerrero, I haven't heard of what the relationship has been like there, but you know, Teddy Long and Ron Simmons always at least loosely affiliated with WWE as well.
It's interesting with Vicky there, because I know that's a bit of a controversial one, but if she were to get involved in this Dominic stuff, I think that could be a fun way to go. But Ryan Lambert,
one more thing before we go, they just announced that the NXT show on Tuesday, October 8th from St. Louis is now going to be in Chesterfield, Missouri, instead of St. Louis.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm glad I'll be watching from home either way. But Ryan Lambert, before you get out of here with the real questions, have the Motor City Machine Guns fired Velveteen Dream yet?
I'm just seeing the news from SmackDown Lowdown as well. And it looks like that Vicky Guerrero made a dumpster match between Chelsea Green and Mia Yim, which sounds great.
That can only end well for you. I know. So good things there. Well, Sean, we'll let you get out of here. There is one more final chat at the buzzer, though, from Bad Robot saying, when Motor City Machine Guns debut, God. I'll keep the tradition and super chat asking creative plans, backstage feelings, and dinner plans, which that I think is a more fun one. Like, I want to know that at this point.
I'll say this. I know a lot of people were sort of like dunking on Motor City Machine Guns possibly going to NXT, and I have no insight on that right now. If I were WWE, I would really, really want them in NXT. I would really want them molding a lot of the young minds in that company. Alex Shelley is a great promo. He has incredible comedic timing. They're two of the best singles and tag team wrestlers that exist. Both of them have competed in factions, in teams, as singles, as cruiserweight wrestlers, as heavyweight wrestlers near the top of the card. They've both been world champions in TNA. I would absolutely want those two guys working with a lot of lesser experienced but high talent athletes and teaching them things. And not only that, like, think about what Alex Shelley does for a day job, and like the way that he helps people from a physical therapy standpoint and healing their bodies and all that stuff. Those are absolutely two people that I would want influencing my younger talent in NXT 100%.
Yeah, we also don't know that if there's a deal, so we certainly wouldn't know the terms of that deal, right? Like, they could be maybe in a hybrid role of some sort. So I can't imagine two people better suited in modern wrestling to go ahead and help out the younger talent that is in that tag division. Like, when I think of Idris and Ofe and like those upcoming tag wrestlers, like I think there's a lot that can help catapult people to the next level. Hank and Tanks, like those guys could use just a little bit more love from teams like the Motor City Machine Guns. So Sean, get out of here before you get asked again about them. All right,
bye guys.
Bye later. Sean, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. Sean gave you a glimpse of what got provided there today, but so much more contract news on the way, so much more about these pending TV deals coming up, so much going on in wrestling, especially with these aggressive pay-per-view schedules too. You're going to want to join FightfulSelect.com, not only for the scoops that are there, but get in that Discord, because during SummerSlam, Sean was just like, heard this person was in Gorilla, heard this person was in Gorilla in the Discord before you could even get it on Fightful Select proper. So lots of benefits to joining FightfulSelect.com. But let's finally swing into the SmackDown review. Cardoza, thought tonight was a good night. Like, tonight was pretty solid, other than kind of what Sean alluded to with that women's match getting cut so short, especially because Piper Niven was in it. You kind of wanted to see her show off a little bit more, but we do have a refreshed brand. We did start with that steel cage match, which I thought was a lot of fun. I feel like Cody always shows up for steel cage matches, man. It's like so in his blood, kind of in a literal sense. But some really good stuff on this one. I really am glad that they're going to stick to 2 hours. I would like to see Raw move to 2 hours. 3 hour wrestling shows are just it's a lot. And Triple H has even said, like, it's tricky to plan that third hour, but a concise show like this with like a major event kicking it off, I thought we had a decent episode tonight. There was some really strong stuff and then a lot of stuff that was just kind of solid and made sense and continued to move things along.
Yeah, I think the show moved along extremely well. Started watching it, and next thing you know, it's 9:45, and I'm like, whoa, you know, this show has really, really flown by. I you know, a lot of it had to do with the fact that there was no commercials for the first 36 minutes. So you're watching, you know, you're watching it and you know, it also felt good that, you know, they were adding a lot of the old nostalgic stuff almost at the beginning before every segment took off. So you were kind of engaged in a way that was a little bit different than your normal everyday rundown of a SmackDown, where they just, you know, it's segmented, like, you know, tout what we're doing, match, tout what we're doing, match, right? So it was fun. It was fun to see. And they're in a roll, aren't they? They're on a roll. They mentioned 37 sellout, 50, right? 37 or 38 sellout, TV sellout, and like 57 event sellout. So like they're on their way to their own 83 weeks. So
yeah,
I'm happy to see it. And if the old saying goes, what is it? Rising tides rises all ships, or something like that.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that this also elevates all of the other wrestling around TNA, MLW, AEW, so on and so on.
Big time. And I think that's something that we are seeing, right? Like the fact that Fox is interested in AEW. I don't think that happens if Fox wasn't first interested in WWE and learned Correct. Things, right? So yes. Wrestling is a very, very healthy product right now. It makes me very happy for wrestlers who have jobs doing this. It's good that there is some stability there. But we do open with that reported on Fightful Select new theme. We have the new logo, which I think looks really bad. But the Never Play, Megan Thee Stallion opening really, really good. It just isn't good. Like it baffles me that kind of across wrestling as a whole, you have billionaires who cannot afford, who like can't manage to get like really great designers across various facets. You're seeing some of that start to turn now, but like, I get that it's hard to evolve a standardized logo that has gone through so many iterations and has been around so long, but like, something like making the S and D and SmackDown separate feels like something that's pretty basic to me.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Like, it
you
looked
need
like
to
Smack
the
on.
S and the D. Yeah, it looked like Smack Sound. I didn't like it. It also reminded me a lot of the Subway logo, unfortunately. I like the way the SmackDown rolls around on the banners inside of the arena.
That's really cool.
That looks great. On the LED boards looks great, but it's just, you're right. It was, did we not test this? You know, like, did we not, like, test it with audiences outside and say, like, here's an NDA. What do you think about this? You know?
It's a weird one, or maybe we're just nitpicky. I don't know.
No, you know what it is? And I said this online. I wasn't trying to, you
that
know, a lot
online
of...
AG. all of our odds that we.
A lot of people love to like say things, but I like the way that they went for. I like that they tried to update it, and it looks really good for this for the 2024, 2025, and beyond logo. But I think they tried just a little too hard, and it came out, that S and the D. Just, and they're trying to go really sports centric. That's really, really, that's a really, really, really like sports centric type of logo if you look at it.
It definitely is. It definitely is. It is cleaner. I do like that. And one thing that they are very good about now is the kind of like the versatility that you get in that it can be applied to anything. It looks good on a black background or a white background. It can look good on t-shirts. It can look good on merchandise and whatever. But if you are concerned about how your own D looks and its accompanying parts.
She's attacking me.
If you're worried about making sure that your own S and especially your D look good, well, manscaped.com.
Nobody wants to see your hairy balls.
It's Friday the 13th. That's all I got to say. What? Kate has lost her screen, her computer. She has no idea what's going on. Kate, you okay? Can you hear me? Uh-oh.
So here's the thing. I can hear that ad playing in the background. That has happened to me twice on this stream. And I don't know why it won't just like play normal. So we're going to try it again. I think the Wyatt Six might be trying to invade the stream. I had a great segue.
That's what it is.
It is Friday the 13th, and it is not even my internet's fault this time. I swear it's a weird, weird thing. But we're going to try, and we're going to play the ad this time, okay? Everybody, are you ready? We're going to try it. All of us together. We're going to make it.
Nobody wants to see your hairy balls, so clean them up. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful is taking care of you. Maybe you're just looking at yourself and you're going, I'm too far gone. There's nothing I can do. Manscaped's got you covered. And you might say, but Sean, there's just so much. Where do I begin? Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. That's where you begin. That's where you go. That's what you do to figure out all this. Body wash, body buffers, shampoo, beard oil, beard balm, beard trimmers, beard combs. And then stuff for your nether regions. Ear and nose hair trimmers. What don't they have at manscaped.com when you use that code Fightful? If you travel too much, you're like, I can't be bothered with that. They got the go bag as well. They got the groin and go bundle. They have everything for you. Don't let yourself go by the wayside. Take control of yourself and your cleanliness. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code Fightful.
Can I just say this? This is a live television program, okay?
We
things
made it.
Happen on live television, on live streams, on live radio, whatever. Things
so here's what's insane about that is for some reason in my instance of the platform that we use called StreamYard, I hear Sean's voice just talking about manscaping your man regions. Like, I hear the audio while you're trying to talk to me at the same time. So it's playing the audio, but not the video. And you're like, Kate, are you all right? And I'm like, no, Sean is in my ear right now talking to me about trimmers and swords. So, my God.
And shaving your pits.
And various other skin-safe regions of things. But let's dive back into this SmackDown episode and get this show on the road. One thing that I am a little bit tired of, to be perfectly honest, is Triple H coming out and saying nothing. Like,
bring it.
I get that what we're doing. Like, I get that it's for the live crowd and not for me at home. But, like, if he could come out and say something of more substance, I feel like that would be better, because we've seen a lot of that. We see it at every PLE now. And I like, they probably should be doing that. Like, corporate should be doing that. Like, you should be kicking off your new relationship with that guy. I'm just bored by it. Like, as someone that's a viewer of the product and analyzing this, I'm like, Man, crazy to think that I was across the ring one-on-one on this very brand, and now here I am. I'm like, nah, get off my screen.
25 years later.
Like,
if you didn't know, WWE is hot.
Yeah, it's like, it's getting aggressively braggy. But
I'm going to spit my water up. Hold on.
His theme rules. So, like, that's always fun to hear. But, like, there's a lot of times where he just kind of comes out and says nothing. So, I get it. It's literally what they should be doing for the product. I'm just tired of it. So, my objective criticism is, like, it was probably smart to kick off the show with him. My opinion on it is I'm bored of him doing that so frequently. But
your opinion is respected here and adored. Well, that's all I got to say.
Well, thank you. Everybody just loves me for my ineffectual segues into products about man parts. That's all they want. That's
you're really good at it, Kate. I tell you, you got a future in this business. if I ever need you for any, you know, voiceovers about nether regions, I'm calling you first.
That means a lot. That means a lot, Cardoza.
I'll put money in your pocket. That's all I got to do, you know?
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Well, let's move along from our Triple H segment then. We do start off really hot with this Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa match. If there's anything that Cody Rhodes knows how to do, it's matches like these. Like, he's really good at getting your emotional investment and stuff like this. Overall, I really liked his whole arc in this episode. There was an interesting character layer that we're going to talk about in a minute, but I thought we got a lot of really, really, really good stuff in this match. I loved how, like, this was the first time it felt super personal, and all of the, like, and all of the face-to-faces that we've got and all of the history we've got, it kind of felt like finally we're getting something, like, really, really emotive, and it wasn't about the interference or what's next. Like, it kind of felt like the most in the moment these two have ever been, in my opinion. But this was a really great ending, in my opinion, as well. Like, we get Cody crawling to the corner, and the door opens, and Cody's almost out, but Solo just shutting it on Cody's head. We don't see enough of that in cage matches. That was, like, a really, really, really well done spot. And he then ducks the Samoan spike, and we get the crossroads for the cover and three. But I thought this whole thing was really, really great. You had Cody gaining the upper hand early, but Solo's power kind of just being too inevitable. Cody in the Tree of Woe was really great. Flying headbutts, but the biggest spot in this, that massive superplex from the top of the cage. We're going to talk about the post-match in a second, but this is what I want to see from my champion, Cody Rhodes. Like, he's so great at getting your emotional investment and stuff like this. Sometimes less is more. There's a lot of wrestling math that goes on with anything bloodline related, but this felt like one guy and another guy in a cage match kicking each other's ass. Save the shenanigans for the end. I thought that was a good call. What did you think of our opening match? And then we'll talk about the post-match shortly.
It was very well done. You know, Cody has a flair for the dramatic. I don't know if you knew that.
I did.
He's also a very, very good facial expressioner.
Big time. One of his biggest in-ring strengths all the time.
Yeah, he does things very well. By the way, I do want to say this. WWE has uploaded that entire 30-minute match to their WWE YouTube channel. So if anyone missed it, you could actually go to YouTube and rewatch that. But I thought it was great. Perfectly timed. It didn't feel rushed. It didn't feel like there was any dead spots. But I do got to say this. There's always a bottom end to it, right? I want to see them move on from this. I feel like this whole, like, because there's going to be a Bloodline 3.0 eventually coming down the line. And I feel like maybe we should move, like, can we find someone for Cody? I understand Cody this is his nemesis. And, you know, I feel like this is now where we're going into part two of a film, if you want to put it in film terms, right? And part two just ended. I want to move on from this. I want to see him. New challenges, new long-term fights with someone else. Like, I'm not being negative about it. I just wish it kind of would just, you know, we would. And it's cool that what he said there, where he wants to move on from it. You know, and we'll talk about that. But I personally feel like, okay, give me something else. Because Cody has his challengers have not came in a fast pace, but they've also not been that great.
Yeah, they kind of, with like the AJ stuff and the Logan Paul stuff, it felt like they didn't really build stories, so it felt like they came too quickly. Like the AJ Styles stuff was all right, but right. They sometimes get handicapped by their own pay-per-view schedule. Like, we talk about it all the time. Like, every fourth show is a go-home on this. So you don't have a ton of time. Yeah. So I do like that we're doing something longer term. But because the beginning of this started a little bit weaker, and because it feels like Cody is not the main character necessarily anymore, because Roman's back, like, there are some obstacles that they're going to have to overcome from a creative standpoint. But I really liked, this might have been my favorite defense of Cody so far. Good. Like, I really, really liked what we got out of this. And that first AJ match was really good, but like, this was kind of what I wanted to see as far as getting me invested as a fan and an analyst of this. But let's talk about the rest of this Bloodline through line up until the main event. We'll leave that for later. But we have the Bloodline just coming in to do what they do, right? To beat the ever-living crap out of Cody. Solo gets that Samoan spike, and then you have Jacob Fatu coming off the top with that springboard moonsault. He looked ready to launch from the top of the cage. But out of nowhere, here comes Roman Reigns, who makes his very slow walk to the ring. And Jacob Fatu, kind of out of respect, climbs down, it felt like, which I thought was interesting. And once Reigns kind of steps into the cage and shuts the door behind him, everything changes. Roman goes crazy. And then his own Bloodline members come in, or taking out his own Bloodline members. Misspoke there, but slams Tama Tonga, takes Tongaloa out of the cage. Solo tries to stop him, launching like an insane brawl. So we get some absolute chaos here, which was fun. Like, I'm glad that Roman was a presence on the show. He's unbelievably over as a babyface. 3 years of being a heel has paid off very, very well for him. And we have kind of some interesting developments throughout the rest of the night here. I loved what we get from Cody in this in particular, but Kathy Kelly is asking Nick Aldis what went down. He says that all the major parties involved are in their dressing rooms and that Solo has a challenge with Fatu that no one can refuse, and we'll find out what that is. And as we kind of go on here, Fatu and Solo challenge Cody. And Cody says, this sounds like a Roman problem, man. Like, mm-hmm. I'm moving on from this. And I thought that was, like, one of the more interesting things that Cody has done. Because to me, that says, like, man, I'm worried about this championship, not about this family that I'm not a part of and their issues right now. That's not going to stay the case as we head into Survivor Series, I don't think. It feels like Cody is going to be on that team for Survivor Series. But we'll talk about the rest of that when it comes up, but I kind of liked this through line, and I was pleasantly surprised by Cody's response. I feel like that's how he should be reacting, Alex.
Yeah. I mentioned it. I just feel like, you know, he should be frustrated. He should be like, God, how much more do I have to put up with this? Like, dude, handle your business with your family.
Yeah.
You know, like, your family affair.
Cody doesn't.
And bled onto so everyone
Samoan.
Else.
Yeah, I don't think Cody's Samoan.
No, I mean, like, come on, bro. Like, let's move it along. Listen, I've enjoyed what I've been seeing. It's just, I think it's just time. And when Jacob Fatu was up on top of the cage, I said, man, this is going to look great. This is going to look great. But we had a mega explosion the minute you hear the doo-doo, ah! You know, it's like everyone goes crazy for freaking Roman. And it's exactly like that. If anyone wants to clip that, that's exactly what the song starts like. So don't.
That is. I popped just right? hearing you do that. Like, I don't popped for me. The.
I
the
love cart. That you just popped and almost put I your did. Finger up. Like,
I was like, Alex is the one, man. The Cardoza pop. That's what happened. The
clavicles the, pops. I got you, baby.
It. You got us covered. Absolutely love it. Your cover of Roman's theme is one that will live on. Will live.
And we won't get. And we're not going to get, you know, hit for that with copyrights because I do it so well. That
yeah, exactly. They're going to be like, that was the
machine
real thing,
learning
right?
Can never keep up. Yeah. That's yeah.
Right. Some good stuff there, but moving on to something that was kind of a bummer in the evening for me. Not because of what we got, but because of what we didn't get, which was more time for our women's wrestling. We got 2:08 for the women.
Jeez.
Here's a hint. Randy Orton's entrance was longer than this entire match. Do better for women's wrestling. I complained about it for AEW for like 3 years. Now they've picked things up. I still have some complaints, but they picked it up. WWE's mostly been doing pretty well, and I understand why this was cut. But, like, man, why is there always the women's matches that get cut down?
But, Kate, you called it. Why did we need the Viper to come down in 3 minutes? First of all, you could have cut the whole segment with Ricky. Ricky could have gotten his love elsewhere. That's number one. Number two, all of a sudden he's there. Do you mean to tell me he traveled all the way up there to the West Coast in his undies and a vest or whatever he was wearing when he
came
out?
On the plane in his gear.
So, how justify what you just said, please. Justify the fact that, oh, he's here. He made it. He made it in his tighties all the way from wherever he was at.
Is that not how you travel?
I stopped after a couple complaints.
Sure.
I think the complaints were good. Like, he's just too, like, manly. Like, God.
He's showing us up. Like, he's making us look bad at the airport. I get that.
Yeah. So, I had to wear stuff, you know, unfortunately.
I get it. You don't want to make everybody look bad, but I know you have that pretty deadly wardrobe. I know you do.
I got them crop tops, clavicle showing, fishnet. Oh, baby, you got to see me on the weekends.
Oh, man. Strolling into Newark Airport in your trunks, and you're pretty deadly, yeah.
I'll be up there in October. I'll be 100% real with you. I'll wear that.
I hope the music follows you. I hope you get to Newark Airport and they're like, take off your shoes. And it's, I hear voices in my head. All day with that. But let's talk about this women's match and what we do get. We have Piper Niven versus Mee Chin, which, like, Piper Niven losing in 2 minutes and 8 seconds is a problem. Like, part of why this didn't work was because of the booking, because Mee Chin gets the win. If Piper Niven smooshed someone in 2 minutes, I'd be like, well, yeah, that makes sense. She's Piper Niven. She's extremely strong and powerful, and she could smoosh most people. But Mee Chin not having enough time to kind of wear Piper Niven down in that 2 minutes really kind of took a lot out for me. But post-match, we get Chelsea Green, who we talk about it every week. Minute maximizer Chelsea Green attacks after and tells Piper Niven to get up and take her out. So you get Piper Niven with the elbow drop, and Chelsea Green brings the garbage can in. We get an unpretty her on to the garbage can. So they did the best with what they were given, and it's not that I can't believe that Mee Chin could beat Piper Niven or beat somebody in 2 minutes and 8 seconds. It's hard for me to buy into the idea that she could beat Piper Niven specifically. And I think for a feud where both people need to look great, because Piper Niven hasn't had enough wins and Mee Chin is just starting to get some screen time and some wins, like, we really need to give both of these women a lot more time so that they can look good both in victory and defeat, because Piper Niven is great and she deserves to feel very important. And Mee Chin is really blossoming of late. So kind of a bummer that that's what happened. But I'm glad that this story is continuing because all of the ladies involved are excellent. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of it when there's space for it. What did you think of our women's match here?
It was short.
Yeah.
In a blink of an eye, I pretty much got up. I said, let me go refill my cup of water real quick before this starts. I came back and I was like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
You know, I have always said this. I love my women in wrestling. We know this. I love my men too, but there's a certain thing with women that can crush you and choke you and just beat the hell out of you, or that makes me happy, right? And I need more Piper Niven on my TV. I need her destroying people. I feel like this version of Piper Niven is a lot like the version of Nia Jax of the past, where she was just lollygagging around, not really doing much, and kind of being like not a comedic act, but more of a side chess piece as opposed to being the main piece, right? And I feel like maybe that means that she has to go berserk and pretty much destroy Chelsea Green. Whatever it is, I need to see that happen because I really, really think we're wasting that talent there, you know? And they sprinkle her here and there. I don't think that's enough. I'm sorry. No, like she is it to me.
She had a title reign because Scotland, or like a title shot because Scotland, not because of wins, right? And she is a badass. And the comparison to
badass.
Yeah, and I think the comparison to Nia is a good one because this is Nia's best work of her career in ring wise, like undoubtedly. Piper Niven has always been performing at a very high level. And they've never figured out what to do with her. When she was Doudrop with Eva Marie, like, what the hell were we doing, right? Like, she has never really gotten a chance to showcase what she can do. She is over, and she is on TV in this pairing with Chelsea, which is great. But I don't know. Luis, if it's the thing that is also being, if this is what I think it is, can you please put it on the super chat document so that I don't say something just stupid?
It was just put on for free, actually. So,
oh, really?
It says free on there. Am I reading this wrong?
Free it might post. Be on the free tier.
MCMG to WWE. Yep, there it is.
Well, there you go. Sometimes we do free posts over on FightfulSelect.com. If
look
you
at us. Look at us.
Yeah, especially when it's like confirming other people's work a little bit. But that is awesome. Thank you for hopping on that. Moderator chat, Alex, that is incredible. Sean was just on here.
I get paid a lot of money. I get a lot of money to do what I just did, everyone.
Well, there you go. Sean lied to us. Sean was like, I have nothing for you. I don't know shit. And then he was like, oh,
maybe he really didn't.
Maybe somebody was watching and saw Sean say, I don't have anything. And then they were like, JK, we do. That also could have come through Corey Brennan. He's been on the NXT beat for us. So go to FightfulSelect.com. You can subscribe to the free tier. Most of our scoops are paid, but things like this where we're corroborating other stories, certain independent news, and always for things of a sensitive nature, whether it's injuries, whether it's things related to the sex trafficking scandal, things that, as Sean has said, feel icky to charge for. We don't charge for those things. So head over to FightfulSelect.com. Most scoops like that are something that are paywalled, but you got one.
And please feel confident to know that you're getting your worth. You're getting your worth when it comes to getting Fightful Select. I used to be one of those people that didn't want to pay for it. I mean, in general, not Fightful Select, but like I was like, why? When someone's just going to copy paste it on the internet one, you know, in the next couple hours or whatever, right? But before I even joined this company, I became a Fightful Select member, and I was really enjoying reading and seeing everything that the guys and girls were putting out on the shows. And then obviously, you know, I got into the team, and it's by far the best news and everything and beyond in wrestling that you can get your hands on. Trust me when I tell you that. I'm not trying to sell it. I don't make any money off FIFA Select.
No, you really don't.
I don't. I don't get shit. I'm not even
you
on there.
Really?
Okay.
Don't.
So just know that, you know, when you do, spread it to your friends, your wrestling friends. It's worth your while. Listen, you spend $5 on worse things, people. Trust me on that.
It's true. There's a lot of coffees that have been more than $5 in my life.
Oh,
yeah.
No coffee costs $5 anymore.
I know. Ryan Sully saying, hey, Kate and Alex, good SmackDown. Bad Blood is shaping up to be really good. SRS just reported that Motor City Machine Guns have reportedly signed with WWE. I'm excited. Yeah. Are you? That Fraxium MCMG Motor City Machine Guns match will feed families. You need to have an eye on Nathan Frazier and Axiom if you are not an NXT watcher. They are an incredible tag team. They've been putting on excellent matches with everybody that they come across.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
A great one. I mentioned Idris Enofe before, and Malik Blade. Their best tag team match ever that I've seen was with them. The Rascals and them have been having absolute classics. So Motor City Machine Guns showing up for that CW show would be incredible. But I look forward to seeing what they can do, whether it's on the NXT brand or the main roster. I think it's a good call. And we've also seen veterans like Sean Spears, for example, come into NXT and have kind of what seems like a hybrid role of doing some on-screen work, but doing some production work as well. They are in the later phase of their career. So if NXT is where they land, I can't imagine a better team to coach people into a like modern era of tag team wrestling. They were definitely a forefather of it. But speaking of NXT, we've got Alex Pulowski in the house.
I'm so glad you brought him on, because I was just about to say something that he mentioned on Wednesday. It's crazy that all out of all the young talent that they have coming into NXT and all the talent that they do have that are young, it's crazy how the age is still up there in WWE. Like, a lot of these wrestlers, believe it or not, are in their 40s and above. Mm-hmm. You know, or in their mid-30s, rising into those 40s. It's crazy. 38 now.
The 38.
Yeah. 38's when you get your first big push. So Montez Ford has like three more years, and then right to the top.
You're right.
Right to the top.
We do welcome Alex Pulowski on to the show. Well, Sean was a liar. He came on here and said he had no information about Motor City Machine Guns, and then reported that they signed. So... please don't make a fool out of us is all that I ask. But if you had anything that you wanted to comment on about tonight's show, or if there's anything you want to tell us about Rampage, by the way.
No, Roderick Strong fought a man named Beef.
He's on ROH.
He was very wet. I you should pat your beef dry before you cook it. You don't need to. I'm honestly, you know what I mean? Like, it's just I don't go in for all this au jus stuff. No French dip for this guy. So I'm not a big wet beef fan. So
au jus. That was a mid 90s to late 90s thing. Everyone had au jus.
No, I'm not an au jus guy, but yeah. No, did you notice I honestly don't even know if I have a Fowler. The whole episode stunk. Kevin Owens is walking out, and we hear weighing in at 242 pounds, and the Chiron comes up 258.
258, so, like,
obviously one of those has to be wrong. Maybe both of them are wrong, but they can't both be true. So whoever is writing the cards to give to Alicia Taylor should check what the graphics department has listed for their weight, and then they should make it match. That's just straight up. It's your first night on USA. You're a very young TV show. You only been around for a few years. Obviously, these production mistakes will disappear with time. But for now, maybe start getting better at that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Was that you just had one sour for today?
No, it was just that was something I remembered now when I said it. You know what I loved? I loved when Solo Sikoa, as Cody, was like, I'm going to sign the contract. And he says to Roman Reigns, that's the guy who beat you. He don't like you. And that is a perfect microcosm for why I hate this whole thing so much. Like, Solo, he's just saying it. He's just saying it in like eight words. And I'm like, please. Yes, like, listen to Solo Sikoa. Solo Sikoa is the man of reason.
He's your tribal chief. You acknowledge him. This episode, we acknowledge Solo Sikoa for that. We acknowledge Solo Sikoa for that.
Just for that.
Just for one night can we acknowledge Solo Sikoa, but...
I think it took longer for them to do the Ricky is not actually Kevin Owens' partner bit than the women got in the ring. You could have like thanks, Ricky, for driving up from Portland to the Seattle show, but we're running low on time, so we got to make sure the women's get more than 90 seconds. So your bit has been excised, and instead of doing a really dumb comedy bit that doesn't matter, you just have Kevin Owens come out, stand at the top of the ramp, and then like, ha ha, you don't even have a partner. Randy Orton shows up. You know how long that takes? 10 seconds, as opposed to 5 friggin' minutes to do the Ricky bit when the women get 90 seconds to wrestle.
I mean, in his undies.
Literally, Randy Orton's entrance was longer than the entire women's match. But
I was so worried about getting home in time to watch the show. So I was watching it while we were driving back from somewhere in the car on my phone. And we got back before the first punch was thrown because Triple H said nothing. A full entrance, the cage comes down, full entrance for Sikoa, full entrance for Cody Rhodes. They do a full, like just 20 minutes of nothing. Ridiculous.
I like that you were like, I don't know. I don't really have a sour power. And you're like, here.
That's four.
That felt like that four. Well, while we have you here, because we cover NXT, Motor City Machine Guns signing that came in literally while we've been on air. So people in chat were talking about Fraxium versus Motor City Machine Guns and how great that could be.
And who else?
Well, I had said, like, if it's a hybrid role, that makes a whole lot of sense to me. Like, those guys working with Hank and Tank, those guys working with Malik and Idris.
Yeah, they could teach them stuff, sure.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I don't think they're, ripe for NXT for the long haul or anything. Like, yeah. I think they're pretty well developed.
I mean, like, Fraxium is... go ahead and say Fraxium. Hold on. How dare you? You just slipped that in there.
I'm sorry. The Blurry Boys.
The Blurry Boys are probably the best tag team in all of wrestling, in all of WWE right now, because of the way they book all the other tag teams on Raw. By the way, the tag champs on SmackDown just got their asses handed to them twice today by Roman and Cody. So Roman and Cody are probably winning the tag titles. Like, I honestly do not know why, if you are if you really love tag team wrestling and you are a tag team with decades of amazing stuff behind you, why you'd be like, you know what I would like to do? I would like to finish out my career in a place that doesn't care about tag team wrestling at all and probably never has. So if it's what they want to do, good for them. I cannot fathom why you would want to do it if you were MCMG.
Probably a whole bunch of money, I would say. Well, like, part of it.
If that's the reason why they make the decision and that's what they want to do, awesome. That's great. But if that's not what you value and you value the other stuff, then
they've already been in TNA and honestly the AEW tag division right now, like Will Ospreay, Team Bruv just won the Casino Gauntlet. Like, there doesn't seem to be a lot of upward mobility there right now either.
No.
I fully disagree. To compare the two, I fully disagree. With the people who are in charge, I fully disagree that AEW is going to be in a much better place in 6 months than WWE is.
I hope so, but I feel like I've been saying that for a while. I feel like I am waiting for this AEW tag division to pop off the way it was, because it feels like ever since the Guns won the titles, like it just hasn't been where it's at. But
Team Nightmare Chief will be the tag champs before Christmas, and we'll just have to live with it.
I kind of like Nightmare Chief, to be honest. I'm not mad about that. Well, you can catch Alex Pulaski being all sorts of sour on FightfulSelect.com. He does a SmackDown review while watching Rampage. It's extremely straightforward, and has no bits at all. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Yeah, you can catch us reviewing Money Plane on FightfulSelect.com on Sunday evening at a time to be announced.
All right.
Very nice.
Cool.
So we'll see you there.
Sunday evening, we'll review Money Plane, where you can lay bets on a man making sweet love to an alligator.
Hey.
I have not yet watched the movie.
You should watch the movie.
I'm certainly planning to do so tomorrow, and I am now intrigued. I am now intrigued. All right. But
don't get too intrigued. They never actually pay it off, so.
Well, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Yeah, we've given you the hard sell a couple of times, but you get scoops and you get me and Alex talking about Money Plane. So.
All right.
Hell yeah. Bye, my friend.
Well, let's dive back into this episode of SmackDown. I didn't think it was all that bad. I do agree with a lot of the points Alex made, but more to talk about. So get in those super chats and Humper Chats at humperchats.com. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It helps people find us in the algorithm. The way the algorithm moves with the wrestling content that we have, man, there's so much going on that SmackDown happens. And then by Saturday, it's like, there are six other events that have happened. We have CMLL tonight. TNA has a special. There's so much going on in wrestling. Kind of freaking rules. Kind of rules. But let's talk about what everybody really wants to talk about, and that is Ricky. Everybody wants to talk about Ricky today. Not Starks, for a change. People have stopped asking about his contract. We're talking about Ricky, who was on SmackDown tonight. Kevin Owens gets to the ring. He says, I was supposed to have a tag partner, TBA, but he ran into some travel trouble. So here comes this guy, and we get Ricky, who feels like he's going to be of Nicholas fame almost. Like he's just going to be over for being on the segment. He comes out proud. He comes out ready to fight. There's a little bit of dissension coming from a town down under, a little bit of making fun here, but Randy Orton ends up coming in to save the day. Poor Ricky. He should have had his spot. Kevin Owens thanks him in his Kevin Owens way, you know, and we get underway with our match. This was very silly, but Kevin Owens can make anything work, so worked well enough for me, but we have our tag team match. I am ready for Grayson Waller and Austin Theory to break up. I am so tired of like hinting at dissension and nothing happening. Let's get this show on the road. But we have Kevin Owens, who's outnumbered early on here. And we have Austin Theory and Grayson Waller doing a lot of double teaming early. And despite those attacks, we have Owens with a really, really nice inverted atomic drop and a clothesline on Theory. And we get a superplex from Waller, but Owens headbutting and tagging Orton, leading to a double superplex in this. This was really, really, really good stuff. You can feel the momentum shifts really well, but ultimately we have Waller getting grabbed and on the apron gets caught with the Hangman's DDT. Fantastic, fantastic DDT variation. Owens grabs Waller, double Hangman's DDTs in stereo. They drop down. We get a stunner RKO combo, and Orton pins Waller for the big three count here. The Ricky stuff was silly, but Kevin Owens is hilarious, so God bless him for that. I thought the match was good. I feel like I have seen Kevin Owens fight A-Town Down Under and the Bloodline, like, exclusively for 2.5 years at this point. I'm ready for him to be, like, in a proper feud. I'm wondering if he turns heel on Randy. Everybody kind of assumed it was going to go the other way. People thought Kevin might turn on Cody. I don't know what the possibilities are there, but I think Kevin turning on Randy could be actually really interesting, Alex.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing, too. I know you just said it is expected, but I want Randy... I don't know, man. Randy's so much better as a heel to me. I think I've seen almost every single type of turn that KO has done, whether it was with Sammy or whomever he was with. Like we've just seen it all. I want to see finally the tables being turned on him, you know, and kind of like him having to fight for his life a little bit here. You know, I thought the match was pretty good, by the way. I thought everything, but, you know, when are we going to get rid of A-Town Down Under? I say this almost religiously now every single week. I'm not hating on them. I just think that they need, and I would have to think that they don't have anything creatively for them separately. And I don't think they can do anything creatively for them separately at the moment because everyone's kind of tied in something. So they're keeping this tag team alive and feeding them to KO 64 times. I wrote it down. And then that's about it. They seem like they're going to fight within each other, and then nothing happens. They get into a little scuffle, a little argument, and the next week they're fine again. So it's just like...
It's tired.
It's like, tiring. They're also having a lot of TV time, which is not bad. Don't get me wrong. Listen, you get a lot of TV time, perfect. But they're getting a ton of TV time. A ton.
They are. They are, and it's a ton of TV time where nothing's progressing. Like, I like that they're getting the time, but, like, nothing happens with that time. So, like, use your minutes more. I really thought they would have turned on each other by now, and this would have been a really good bad blood feud.
Yeah.
Like, a tag team that splits up, that's a perfectly sound bad blood feud, but...
Bring back the golden egg. Let's go.
That's what Second Lieutenant Colonel Photo is calling for here. Said, you know, Second a gold Lieutenant. Egg wow. would do wonders for them. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say the golden egg was more harmful than helpful for our friend Austin. Hey,
come on. We could finally open it and see what's inside it. Maybe the key. It's, you know what they should do is they he opens it. And he has the keys to Titan Towers because we all know Titan Towers is being sold. So when he goes, he's like, "Great, this is mine, all mine." And when he puts the key to open it, he can't open it. See, storyline of the year. God, I'm good.
That is
That's entertainment.
That is a thought that you have had. So.
Wow.
We're Kate. Just going to roll.
I thought you were behind me the whole way here.
It is insane. Sometimes, like, I think about how far we've come with WWE. And to think that Survivor Series in Brooklyn, because I live in the Northeast. I know a lot of people that went. They were like, yeah, The Rock is going to be here tonight. They basically promised The Rock was going to be there tonight. And then they were like, actually, here's a movie prop. Golden Egg from the movie he was in. That people are going to be chasing around the entire episode. So we've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way. Tina Keys with a lovely chat saying, sending hugs on my way home from SmackDown. Fun show overall. Well, that's awesome. I love it.
And if you guys didn't believe that they had a new SmackDown logo, I retweeted Tina's tweet with a picture of the ring with the skirt that had the new logo on it. And I was like,
I will say, it is. It looks a lot better on the skirt than it does like on just like an entry logo on TV. I feel like it actually looks a lot better on the branded canvas there. Tom LaValle saying, Kate Jamie Hayter going ginger. I did. I am a copperhead like the snake. Me and Randy Orton are both just snakes in the grass, y'all. That's how it goes. But we move on. We move on from this A-Town Down Under and Kevin Owens, Randy Orton match to a segment between Nia and Bayley. Nia comes out and all of
I think we lost you. We can't hear you. It just muted itself on its own. Ladies and gentlemen, I am loving the Friday the 13th episode of the SmackDown Post Show in the new era. 25 years in the making. We're back on a Universal Network. If you guys don't remember, I believe SmackDown used to be on Sci-Fi. That's owned by Universal. Yeah, Kate just went quiet on me. Kate, can you speak to us? Kate, are you there, Kate? Sorry, everyone. I think we're having technical difficulties over at Kate's home. There she is.
Hey! Sorry.
I can hold the damn man all night. Energy. I just don't have the rundown to talk like she does, but I can talk, baby. I can talk.
They didn't want me to recap this Nia and Bayley segment. I don't know why. That is rude.
They're messing with us tonight. But
we are back, baby. We are back. I ain't going anywhere until my internet forces me out again. But Nia comes out and she says that it's been about a year since she rejoined WWE and she's been a problem ever since, which I liked. She stands on her accomplishments, talking about the Queen of the Ring tournament, talking about how easy it was to become champion for her. Really, really nice stuff. I like it when all wrestlers stand on their accomplishments, but especially women's wrestlers. Like, it's nice when the wins and losses matter for them. And we get an interruption from Bayley, who says, "Ding dong, idiot," which was fantastic. I really like that she kind of admits that Nia is doing the best work of her career and then follows up with the 1-2 punch of saying that was a low bar to clear, though. Some good stuff. Some good stuff early on there. Nia kind of gets in some jabs to Bayley, talking about hiding behind damage control, and Bayley kind of counters by saying, what about your posse? You got Tiffy time. Pretty Deadly's rolling around, but Tiffy interrupts. And she says that Bayley is simply jealous of her briefcase that she's basically holding as a purse at this point, which is fantastic. But Bayley reminds us that she beat Tiffany Stratton. And out comes Naomi, who demands a title shot. I don't like that she's demanding title shots off of losses. That's happened multiple times. I guess we've just entirely dropped this thing with Blair Davenport. That's weird. But then it gets a little bit lost. We have Nia saying, "Why don't you two fight each other and whoever wins gets a shot?" And Bayley says, "Like a triple threat?" And I was like, "No." That's not what that is. That's a contendership match. No, that's not a triple threat. And Nia says, "You know what? Why don't we have a tag match?" And the winner gets a title shot. But if Naomi and Bayley lose, they have to go to Raw forever. So some good stuff there. What's interesting about this is I think it could kind of go either way. I think the faces are going to win and we are going to get a triple threat. And I think you're going to see Bayley and Naomi have some dissension. But I think it would actually do Raw a lot of good and definitely Naomi a lot of good if she went to Raw. Because they have not booked her well. She's been over and she's looked great in matches, but they have just not found a way to book Naomi outside of, like, Bianca and Jade sometimes is the only way that she can get wins. So what were your thoughts on this segment? And do you want to see Bayley and Naomi head to Raw?
Hey, you know, five years ago, Bayley made her way into SmackDown and killed all the Bayley buddies. So it was kind of good to have her now kick off yet another new era in SmackDown's history. I do believe, and this is not a scoop, or maybe it is, you know, the clavicles are running wild as of late. with the end of the year approaching and all these changes, I do believe that there's going to be yet another draft coming. I do see, Bayley has kind of exhausted her resources at SmackDown. She's been the SmackDown, homebody for such a long time. I do believe also you might see Naomi move over. I'm not very certain about Naomi, but I'm very, very sure that Bayley will definitely be making a move. And she needs that little fresh start with new, fresh faces, and whatnot. Also, by the way, you said the Davenport thing is like, where did that go? I haven't seen my spooky witches on the spooky months that's coming. Like, there's so many. I'm not gonna get into it, but God, there's just like things that I'm missing out on right now.
There are. I don't know how I feel about another draft being so soon. I get it with the brand splits, but
when was the last one?
Wasn't it like April around the NFL draft?
Was it? I thought it was like October of last year.
No. It was April around. They always do it like around NFL time.
They do it like every six to eight months. They kind of like bring it back.
It would be nice if they got it right because like it gets very murky every time. abide by it or kill it. Like,
okay, NFL draft.
In or out, you know what I mean? I feel like there was a year that they did it later, though. I think you're not wrong. But
I just feel like if they wait all the way to, like, May to do it again, it wouldn't make any sense. And I'll tell you why. It's because with this new move to Netflix, unless they do trades or they do the whole open thing again where people can start going back and forth, like, you know, something has to happen. There's just we need to refresh a couple things.
I just wish they didn't do a draft and people could show up in storylines where appropriate, or what they should do is trades. Like, trades would make sense. They do them when it's convenient. They don't really do them otherwise.
Right.
They'll be like, there's no... create your rules and follow them is all that I ask.
She could be the face of SmackDown forever. Who knows, you know? Like,
it's true. It's true. Well, you know what else is true?
Oh.
That these pay-per-views that we get are getting kind of expensive. There's a lot of pay-per-views to be shelling out for. That Warner deal ain't done yet, guys. Okay?
She has the scoops.
A million subscription services we're logging into. There's so much. And I'm just saying, sometimes certain things are a little bit cheaper in other places. Maybe you miss the WWE Network. Maybe you want to see AEW content through a different lens, perhaps. Maybe you want early access to that library. Well, do I have news for you?
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Kate is right, by the way. Kate is right. By the way, there's websites that are also blocked in 12 states. That NordVPN
Disney Channel
help you access, okay?
DisneyChannel.com. Is that what you're talking about?
100%.
Yeah, that's what I figured
they're having a problem right now with Dish and DirecTV, and sometimes you can't access them, so you use your NordVPN.
That's what's up. I'll tell you what else is up. Andrade and Melo show out every time these two are together. Holy cow. My goodness, this was an incredible match again. You mentioned this at their last one. They've done a really good job with this series of matches of telling a different story every time. Like, they threw some heat on this that was a little bit more personal. That showed up a lot tonight. You can tell they're a little bit more comfortable and better scouted. You can tell there's a little bit more intensity and that it's built over and over again. And I really appreciate that about this. Like, I think it's really refreshing to have a feud like this. Andrade picking up the win here. Him switching up finishers is always something that I appreciate. So I hope he does so more in the future. But I thought this was an outstanding match. There wasn't a ton of matches on tonight's card. This might have been, other than the cage match, which felt like its own event, kind of like my favorite thing that we got on the show. And I feel like I've been saying that a lot on SmackDown, that, like, man, Melo and Andrade really, really showed out for this. It is very funny when Carmelo goes for the nothing but net and misses, because, like, in my head, I think in basketball terms of nothing but net, and, like, that would just be like a brick then, right? Like, if someone rolls out of the way and you go for the nothing but net, people should be yelling brick at you in the crowd. But I loved this match. I know you've been enjoying this series too. So Andrade versus LA Knight is where we're going with this. I thought it was going to be Carmelo. But we'll talk about the post-match in a moment. What did you think of what we got in-ring first?
It was good. They continue to find ways to refresh the matches. You know, that Spanish fly off the off the side of the barricade. What a great spot. I thought someone for sure was going to bust their mouth open.
Yeah.
When he did it. But I like the fact that he got to use my pronouns here. Andrade was attacked right off the rift.
Yes.
You know, and you kind of just see a little bit of that rough and tough and having to fight from the ground up. Not bored. That's part of my notes. It was like I was not bored by it. There's times that I remember when we had the bar fighting each other for seven straight matches, I kind of got bored of it. And these two have shown a way. Also, they spaced it out.
Yes, that's helped.
Yeah, so these two have been really good.
Yeah, this was fantastic. I've enjoyed every single one of these that we've gotten from them, and it's been a nice evolution. And I like it when we see in-ring evolve. Like, I like when stories evolve through in-ring. So this has been a rivalry that has been for me. Andrade winning makes me wonder if Carmelo is going to be the one to beat LA Knight eventually. Like, it feels intentional that they're keeping him away from it at this point. I think they view him as like a WrestleMania superstar. So my hope is that he maybe is the one to eventually take it from him, though I also would want it to be Santos. So tough. Yeah. I'm all for hot potatoing and stuff, but like, I think LA Knight's going to hold on to this for a little bit. So going with Andrade, not a bad call, but we do have LA Knight coming out after this, and I have to pull up what he said verbatim because it made me laugh, and I simultaneously, like, it would be insulting to get it wrong with what he says. He congratulates Andrade, and then he says that he hopes Andrade is feeling tingles and jingles, but he just won the Quiddy sweepstakes and the prizes.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Getting dropped on his head by the megastar. He is doing it like nobody else right now. God bless LA Knight for that, but nice little post-match promo there. Nice little post-match promo there for sure. Guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats as we are coming down the home stretch. Let's get into this main event. But before we do, we remind you to subscribe to Fightful Select. We've told you a lot about it on the show, but it is $54 a year or $5 a month. Please help us out there. Not only will I be reviewing Money Playing back there, but Alex Pawlowski and I also do paper review post shows, so we have a lot of fun, kind of a lot of alternatives to what's on the main, and in addition to scoops, a whole bunch of other value. But me, Norma, saying, "Sup, partners, let's crank. Here's a small sack of monies for Kate's internet and the Wild Clavicles." That's a fantastic tag team, the Wild Clavicles.
The Wild Clavicles.
I love it.
Famous
feud with the Wild Samoans.
While Samoans are giving you the hardest headbutt ever, because Samoans are known for having the hardest head in the industry.
You have the hardest clavicles.
The hardest freaking clavicles you'll ever face.
That's right. Damn right. But let's talk about our main event here. Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. I mean, truly, we'll take your money at any time. But if you want to get your question,
I need money, man.
Right,
I want to buy stuff. Send it.
Well, we get back to kind of the through line of this whole episode. We saw Cody earlier today say that he's not really interested in taking this on, but Roman Reigns is in the ring. He does the "we the ones," and Nick Aldis is there as well. We get Roman playing to the crowd. It's fun to see him get to play to the crowd as a face. It's a very, very different vibe, which is fun. But it's been a chaotic night, and they have their own unique history. And he wants to say that with everything going on, and Roman puts his hand out, and Aldis puts the contract in his hand. Reigns looks at it, and then it takes his other hand and puts it out again, and Aldis gives him the mic. That made me laugh. It is in my notes that made me laugh. So he says that he doesn't want to confuse anybody. Some things change, but he does not. This is family business, and it is bloodline business, and he doesn't need a partner. He definitely doesn't need Cody Rhodes' help. But out comes Cody, as he does. Cody says, "Your ring, your WWE." Well, it was, but it hasn't been since WrestleMania. And Cody drops the mic, and so does Roman, and they kind of have this stare down. Solo and Fatu come out, and Tama and Tongaloa attack Reigns and Cody from behind. Cody hits the Cody cutter, Roman with the Uranagi. I like a lot of what this is. Cody puts his hand out, Roman puts his hand over it, and Cody signs the contract. They're not happy, but they agree to team up here. So there's good and bad about this. I like that there isn't an assumption that they are friends, right? Like, right. They shouldn't like each other just because they're both faces. Like, these guys were at war for 2 years with each other. That makes no sense, right? So I'm glad that there's dissension there. I don't know why Cody recognizes that this is none of his business and then switches. Like, he just changes his mind kind of with no real explanation. Yeah. So I hope that there's creative justification for that. I felt the same way watching AEW when they were like, Bryan Danielson can't wrestle and defend his title at Grand Slam. And then Nigel McGuinness was like, I'm challenging you. I'm like, this was the same episode and you explained nothing to me. So I need a creative justification as to why Cody changed his mind next week. Cause it makes no sense. Like, they don't even have titles that he wants. They have tag titles, right? So they need to justify why Cody changed his mind. The same way that they needed to do that with Royal Rumble, they need to find a way back. So, but I do like that it's not just assumed that Roman and Cody are friends. So mixed emotions for me on the way that we closed out this episode, but Roman hugely over. We are on the road to Survivor Series after Bad Blood. So this seems like an inevitable thing, but what did you think of our closing segment?
I really wanted it to end. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just an old man fan now. So from what I'm screaming at the clouds, I'm one of those. Cause I just was like, why are you coming out, dude? Like, he has other family members. What, get the Usos involved. Get one of the new kids that are coming up in the family to kind of like give him some shine. Why there, you know, you came out, you told me you were done with this. I love the attitude. I love the way he came out and he looked at the GM and he was like, yo, I'm done with this. That's his problem. You know? I was like, yes, finally. And then but you know what? People are gonna eat it up and they're gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna be like, cool, this is gonna be a cool match. It's fun to see. I hope that Solo and Jacob Fatu destroy them, because it would make no sense for Roman and Cody to win. I need them to win. And by them, I mean, you know, Bloodline 3.0, so that we could actually have a bigger story, a comeback story. The chase, and then like get rid of Cody and then have him have Roman bring in the rest of his family, you know, like, oh, Cody, you sucked, you weren't there for me, you didn't even help me, I'm gonna punch you in the mouth.
This comment right here is where I kind of have a problem with this. Is like, I understand that they jumped Cody again so that he would have a problem with them again, but like, he has all these other friends like to back him up now, right? Like, we've seen DIY, we've seen the Street Profits, but like, I guess they just don't really factor in anymore. Like, I guess begrudgingly teaming up with Roman and Roman knowing them is supposed to be the justification there. But like, that also just feels like a retread of Drew and Punk a little bit of like, yes. Well, darn it, they just won't leave me alone. Like, freshen up the playbook a little bit, because that goes stale for me. But I liked that he was moving on. Like, getting jumped is one thing, but needing to team up with Roman to be the one to tell him off. I don't know. I don't need it. Not my favorite, but we will see. I'm sure the match will be awesome though. I think the stare down between Fatu and Roman will be like an all-timer thing. So looking forward to that for sure. But guys, that is our review for the evening. We're going to wish you a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. But before we get out of here, Cardozo, where can people find you?
Hey, that's me. You can find me on IG. Now, let me stop. Alexis Cardoza, Threads, Alexis Cardoza. And if you don't want to mind everyone who's here, go hit up that little follow button on Instagram. I would greatly appreciate it. If you're not on Threads yet, make sure you go check it out. I make no money off of that either. I just think it's such a more powerful, like a friendlier and positive place to be rather than the other place. I've also encouraged you to go check out the other IG handle that I just opened up called That Was Pretty Jolly. Yes. October 9th, I'm coming out with a new show talking Christmas movies. And the play of it is, instead of doing the 12 days of Christmas, I'm doing the 12 weeks of Christmas. And each week I'm going to be talking, not reviewing, not breaking down, talking about a certain movie, a Christmas movie. Which will be really, really fun to share with you guys. So, yeah, that's coming October 9th. And I'm an old man screaming at the clouds.
I love that for you. I also love this chat. You jumped me, we got to square up. You know what? That's fair. That's a fair take. But just fight right there. Why you got to wait till... Why you got to do that with a friend? Beat some ass, Cody. Why? You can catch me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can find me here on Fightful every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday reviewing NXT, ROH, and SmackDown. You can also catch me on Fightful Select with Alex Pulaski for any pay-per-view post-shows and Mondays doing your Sour Graps Raw review. And the Mark Order on Wednesdays. We have a lot of fun over there talking all things All Elite. But not this Wednesday. I will be in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania for that, and I will also be at Grand Slam if you are going to be there. I'm going to try to get to that October SmackDown at Madison Square, or no, is it in Brooklyn? I can't remember. I think it's in Brooklyn. Pretty sure it's in Brooklyn. I'm going to try to get to all of the wrestling. I think October 25th, maybe? Let me check. But I'm going to be seeing a lot of live wrestling, so if you see me there, please say hi. I look forward to seeing and meeting more of you, but we're going to get out of here. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store.
Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.